Welcome to Prompting Curiosity, a podcast for the AI curious. No coding background required. I'm your host, Dr. Shantae Cofield, also known as the Maestro, and I created this show to explore what these AI tools actually are.
Really, though, are the files in the computer?
How to use them, and what they might mean for how we think, work, create, and move through life. Whether you're skeptical, intrigued, or already experimenting, you're in the right place. All that I ask is that you stay curious. All right, let's get into it. Hello, 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 my curious people. Welcome to episode 36 of Prompting Curiosity. There it is. We got a name. All right, we had a name last week. We got a name this week. I am your grateful host, the Maestro. And today we are talking about my AI wish list. So before we get into the main topic, y'all, I am still hella stoked about the new site. Fun fact, at the time that I am recording this, I haven't officially done the hard launch of the new site yet, but by the time you listen to it, it will have already hard launched, and this will be a week later, which is wild. If you listen to my other podcast, Maestro on the Mic, I say this like every other episode, because it is just like a wild thing to me, because I record episodes a week ahead, and actually for Prompting Curiosity, I record them a week and a day ahead. I record on Wednesdays, they go out the following Thursday, so it's like I'm speaking about the future, but I'm in the present, which then becomes the past. And either way, the important thing is that I am stoked about the new site, the brand refresh, all of it. Hopefully y'all are digging the new cover art. You should be seeing it because I changed everything quite a bit ago. I mean, sometimes things get, you know, bogged down a little bit, but you should be seeing it. And I would love, this is my CTA for today, folks, my call to action. I would love it if you took a screenshot of the screen that you're looking at and shared it to Instagram. All right, I want people to see the new goods, see the new thumbnail, the new cover art, whatever you want to call it, because I'm proud. Take a screenshot, tag me, the Movement Maestro, and if you want, you're feeling like a bonus tag, Prompting Curiosity Podcast. Yes, I have an Instagram account for that, for this podcast. Do I do anything with it? No. And I know asking for the double tag is annoying as fuck, and so if you really want, just tag me, the Movement Maestro, that's fine. But I would love it. It would really mean a lot to me. And as per always, I am stoked and grateful for your support. So let's hop on into the main topic for today, which is my AI wish list. So I was talking about this with Lex the other day. But this is something that I believe is the case with so many things. And that's that growth occurs in spurts. And those spurts tend to be exponential. Like, I feel like I went through like a physical growth spurt when I was like in first grade. And then I like never grew again. So if you ever meet me in person, you're probably going to be like, wow, you're smaller than I thought. I'm not like a super short person. I'm 5'6". But I weigh 125 pounds on like a big day. And so most people think that I'm just like would be bigger and like bigger. And I'm not. All right, but I was like this size in fifth grade, so I like thought I was gonna be big, and then like that, I never kept growing. Like, this is it. So we tend to see oftentimes those exponential growth spurts, and then it goes like little, and then growth. I believe this happens across all things. I experienced this with beach volleyball. All right, well, shit will stay the same for months, and just like at the same level playing, it's not bad, just at the same level, and then suddenly you unlock a new skill, and you like practice that. And then your progress goes from flat horizontal to, you know, up and to the right. And it's a really, really cool thing. There was a lot of that, you know, that up and to the right for the early years of LLMs, large language models, right? Claude, ChatGPT, namely ChatGPT. And it's wild to say the early years because we're only, you know, 3.5 years in, right? ChatGPT 3.5, that was, or GPT 3.5, which was ChatGPT, like the original. That was released in November 2022. So we are currently in March of 2026. So, you know, overall, it's still in the early years. But what I'm talking about is like that first 1 to 2, even into the third year, we saw that up and to the right and that exponential growth. Right? But as it stands right now, present day, March 18th is when I'm recording this. It'll be not that day when you listen to this. I think it'll be March 26th when you listen to this, if you listen on the date it drops. But present day, things aren't being rolled out or, you know, quote unquote, shipped, as they say in the tech world, as quickly. And I think perhaps if you're a Claude Code diehard, you may give me some pushback, right? Which is fine. But for 99% of the people who use LLMs, the changes in capability are no longer exponential. We are in a time right now where it's about putting what we have, the technology that we have, to work and exploring everything that's possible. Brief side note here. We're going to nerd out for a second. As it relates to OpenAI, ChatGPT, we literally witnessed the end of these exponential growth spurts with the release of GPT-5. And I covered that. I spoke about that. That was in August of 2025. So I actually started this podcast on the day that GPT-5 launched, which is coincidental. But until then, right, with each release, we went to GPT-3.5, GPT-4, I believe there was a 4.5 maybe, and then 5 came out. And until then, right, overzealous CEOs like Sam Altman, especially Sam Altman, they were doubling down on the idea that they could continue to scale LLMs by simply making them bigger. All right, you make these LLMs bigger, you give them, I almost said more prognosticators. That is not the right word. That's not the right word at all. More parameters, and that they will get, you know, quote unquote, we'll call it smarter. Until GPT-5 came out, that had actually been the case, which is contrary to what, leading like machine learning scientists and the tech nerds, the people that actually know about this stuff, they had said the opposite. They were like, no, you can't just make these LLMs bigger and they will get better. And OpenAI was like, hold my beer, right? And it was true. Going from 3.5 to 4, and like, you know, we don't know what they trained it on, but the models did get bigger. We don't know the ultimate count of the parameters, but the things did get bigger, right? Again, LLM, the size of an LLM is based on the number of parameters, not the size of the data set that it is trained on. So just for whatever that's worth to you. But my point being, for a bit there, you could just make the models bigger. And Sam Altman was just betting, because he's the fucking worst, was just like, we're going to scale our way to AGI, Artificial General Intelligence. That's what that stands for. And it looked like it was going to happen, although everyone that actually knew anything about anything was like, no, it's not going to happen. And then GPT-5 came out and everyone was like, weep womp, this fucking sucks. It's not any better. You lied to us. And everybody was sad. Everybody that used ChatGPT was sad because the 04 model, the 4.0 model, people loved the personality of that one. And then they got rid of it. And people were like, bring it back. All that to say, right, it feels like right now, the growth curve has gone horizontal, right? Again, if you are a Cloud Code stan, feel free to push back. I'd love to talk to you if you're a Cloud Code stan. We're going to get into Cloud Code a little bit today, but I would love to talk to you if you are a Cloud Code stan. If you don't know what the fuck I'm talking about, don't worry about it. We're going to get into it a little bit. But in my opinion, the growth curve has gone horizontal, and the gains to be made now are in how you are using it and what projects you're having it complete. And I was very intentional with the wording there at the end of that sentence, projects that you're having it complete or tasks that you're having it complete, because that is the next level of using AI, right? Which is leaning into what is called agentic AI. I have talked about this in a bunch of previous episodes, right? But as a reminder, agentic AI is AI that can actually do things. It can execute tasks. It doesn't just answer questions. So that in mind, I want to spend the rest of the episode going through my very short wish list for AI, aka the things that I want to and that I am going to use AI, more specifically called Claude Code, to build. All right, so in the spirit of brevity, I'm going to refer you back to episode 29. That'll give you the deep dive into the deep, but not like super nerdy, dive into Claude Code and Claude Cowork. Link those in the show notes for you. The TLDR, right, is that, for those who don't know, TLDR is too long didn't read. In this case, I should probably say, too long didn't listen, TLDL. But the TLDR is that Claude Code is Anthropic's agentic tool, and Claude Cowork is Anthropic's agentic-like tool. Right? Claude Cowork is basically Claude Code for non-coders. And fun fact, Claude Code built Claude Cowork. That's fucking wild. Right, but both of them can execute tasks. It's that Claude Code has way more, like significantly, substantially more functionality. Both of them use Anthropic's various LLM models, which is Opus, Sonnet, as their quote-unquote brain. I know it's confusing. It's weird. Like, wait, what's happening? Just stick with me. Because all I want you to understand is this kind of, I have a goal. I have two goals in sharing my AI wish list, right? It's twofold. Number one is going to put me on the hook to actually build these things. Like, I'm planning on building them, but hopefully I build them sooner than later because I told you guys about them, right? Which means that I can then learn and then I can teach you. The second thing is that sharing this wish list with you gives you examples of how this tech can be used, which hopefully sparks some ideas for you, and that can lead to more understanding. Right, because right now, cloud code is just this thing, and it's very backwards. I said this time and time again that AI was rolled out in a very backwards way as it relates to marketing. Traditionally, and more successfully, oftentimes more successfully, when we market something, bring something to market, first we do market research, and we find a problem, and then we find a solution to that problem. AI is backwards, right? LLMs, they're backwards in that these companies said, hey, here's a solution, go find a problem. And that's really where we're at right now with Cloud Code and Cloud Coworker. It's like, I see this thing, I know it exists, like it seems cool, I hear people are using it, but like, I don't really have a problem for it. So I'm gonna share two problems that I have that I am going to use Cloud Code to solve, and maybe that will get the wheel spinning for you. Then you try it and you'll start to understand more about what this thing is, all right? So my very short AI wish list, AKA what I'm gonna use Cloud Code to build. Number one, an automated workflow for this podcast workflow that I'm doing right now. And number two, a custom dashboard to manage my one-on-one messaging service clients. It is my humble opinion and the opinion of many reasonable and rational people on Threads that AI is going to revolutionize custom web apps and personal web apps. It already has, right? It already is. I don't know if you guys remember, but that custom dashboard, or excuse me, let me just say, the custom dashboard that I want to make will be an example of that. The pill tracker that I made, I don't know if you remember that, me talking about that, that is an example of these custom, you know, personal web apps. And that was my first foray into vibe coding. And I'm like, this is fucking awesome, right? So the workflow, and you're going to see why I want to automate this. The workflow that I'm looking to automate. Please note, I am never outsourcing the actual creative portion of things. Right? I want to outsource the other things so that I can just focus on. I really, really love making this podcast. And I really enjoy the companion. I don't like the, like, what's called the last mile, which usually involves like copying, pasting shit a million times. But I love recording this podcast. It's actually very, very fun for me. I want to get rid of the other stuff. All right, so I'm never looking to outsource the actual creative portion. I'm looking to outsource largely what is considered to be that last mile, and typically involves a shit ton of copy and pasting. So my process for this podcast, all right, is I write this out. I write the outline. It's very extensive. It's usually like 4 or 5 pages, single spaced. I record the podcast like I'm doing right now. I then paste the outline into Claude. From there, I have Claude generate the show notes and the companion. From there, I copy the show notes into a Google Doc. I also copy the companion into a separate Google Doc. I edit both so that it's like my voice. It's you know, what I want it to be. From there, I copy the show notes to an episode post on my website. I also upload the episode MP3 file, which is the recording of the episode. I also upload the cover art, which is just the podcast cover art. Okay, but I have to set it. And then I schedule the episode to go out a week and, you know, 8 days later. From there, I copy the companion, right? I said that was in one of the Google Docs. I copy the companion to an email template in Kit to go out as the newsletter, and I schedule it. I then copy that companion, same thing, to a blog post on my website. I go and generate a featured image on Gemini, which has been fucking sucking. I'm just going to say it. And it has like a little watermark on it now, and I fucking hate it. But either way, I have to create a featured image, and I use Claude to come up with the prompt, and then I put that inside of Gemini, and I get that image. Then I upload that image to Drive, and I also upload that image to the blog post as a featured image. Then I schedule said blog post to go live. Then, yeah, I'm not even done yet. We're almost done, though. Then I copy the podcast episode link from my website, and I copy the blog episode link, and I put them on a master Google Sheet. So you see, it's lots of copy and pasting. Just lots of like monotonous little things, and it's annoying as fuck. And I'm like, this doesn't need to take as long. Cloud Code can do this for me. Okay? And like, maybe you're like, what? And I'm like, yes, it can do it for me. I will have to give it access to my website, give it access to my ConvertKit or Kit. That's my email marketing service. Give it access to Google Drive. But it can absolutely do all those things, right? And paste, it can do all those copy and paste steps. And then I can just go in and check it and schedule it, which is way better. It can do more than that. It could write the thing for me. It could do the whole thing. It could write the outline for this. It could turn it into a newsletter. It could paste it. It could write the blog post, write a different blog post. And it could do way more stuff. I just wanted to take the stuff that I have that's already in Google Drive and copy and paste it into the correct places. That's it. And it can do that. Right? And I just have to go and do the very end, which is check it, make sure it's correct, schedule it, and that's way better. All right, I could honestly have it schedule it as well, and then I just go and check, but I'd rather have it post as drafts, and then I go and schedule it. But how exactly that happens is something that I will discuss in a later episode, because at this moment, all I only know for like full certainty is that it can for sure complete these tasks via a combination of what's called a Claude.md file, a markdown file, that would have like all the instructions and things like that. And what's called MCP server integrations. But don't worry about that for now. And once I build it out and get it running and I understand it, then I'll be sharing what I understand with you. I actually wanted to do it for this episode, but I was chatting with Claude, my French assistant, and Claude said it would take like a few hours to build out. Though, worth noting, I have read plenty of cases on Threads where Claude overshot its time to completion by like a lot. But it was just like, hey, this is going to take like 3 to 4 hours, like do it on a weekend. You said you're really busy with all this stuff, like just do your regular flow. And I was like, you know what? I appreciate that. I appreciate you being realistic because I have so much shit to do. So I'm doing this one myself. I'm going to be copying and pasting all the things. And it stays on the wish list for now. But this allowed me to make this episode. And then I will be tackling that in the next few weeks. Wishlist item number 2, which is the second, last, and final item, is a personalized dashboard that I can use with my one-on-one messaging service clients. So for those of you who don't know, I rolled out a bunch of new messaging services for my main business, the Movement Maestro. These services, right, I help people with their messaging, right, their communication. These services have a start date, a stop date, email correspondence, due dates for forms, feedback end dates, client-specific URLs, bits of information that would generally be nice to have all in, you know, one area. And they also, it also has, these services also have repetitive emails that would be great to be able to generate with just the click of a button. So you might be thinking, Maestro, that's a CRM. And you are right. But all the CRMs out there, like so much tech, I should say, all the CRMs that are out there, just like so much tech, right? So much of the tech that's out there, it's bloated and expensive, and I just need a few features. And I want it to look how I want it to look and do exactly what I want it to do. So I'm going to build it out. I'm going to build out exactly what I need. Now, for this, I could actually put this together with a regular, you know, with regular Claude. I don't need Claude Code. I don't need Claude Work, Claude Cowork. I could do it with regular Claude. And I could have it generate the code and I could plug it into Cursor, which is what's called an IDE, an integrated development environment. And it's just like a, it's like a place where you can type code, and but it's visual and clear. Cursor is nice because it is AI assisted. But I could do that and I could create, you know, a custom Next.js web app, which I have done, right? That the pill tracker that I was talking about before, that's a custom Next.js web app. I made a website for my brother. He doesn't use it, but I made one. I have made a really cool map for Lex's dad where that you can color in. He does like territories. He's a sales rep. And so he was looking to be able to color code the different territories. And this way they could have the different drivers be like, okay, this one, they're kind of like redistributing the territories. And so I built out a map that's, you could, it's interactive and you can color in the areas and zoom in on things from New York State. So it was pretty cool. I could do that for this dashboard. Absolutely. But what I think I'm going to do is lean into Claude Code here and have it build it for me. And that is the power of these agentic tools, right? You literally type, build me this, or I'd like this, and it will execute it. Now, there is clearly a ton more involved, but like at the most simplistic, like the thing that I want you to understand is like that's how you're interacting with it. You can use natural language to interact with this thing, We know that the more steps you give it, the more specific you can be, the better. But you don't have to know how to program, is what I'm trying to say. I took a different route and started trying to learn some of the, like, what is actually being generated. I could never generate it on my own, just like out of thin air. But I was like, I wanted to understand what is happening and, like, you know, the scaffolding for things and what I like using and how things get deployed and where they live, how to fix things if they break. But this is what's so amazing about this technology is that because it uses an LLM, a large language model, as its brain, you can just use natural language and it will do things. That's incredible. And they have made Claude Code so much more accessible. Right? So before, you could only interact with it via the command line, so the terminal on your computer. And then they've made it so that it has a it's part of the desktop app. You have to be paying in order to use Claude Code. You have to be on at least a $20 a month plan. But you can access it from your phone now. It's just incredible. Right? They have really just made it just so much access, which is smart for them because people use it and then you pay money. But to me, this is just like, yes, it is absolutely going to revolutionize how the people that want to create personal web apps. And that's what I want to do. And I'm going to do. That's the second item on my wish list, right? I really do believe, all that in mind, I really do believe that we are in a time where it's not about AI getting better. Like, that's not our focus, right? Even though it is absolutely getting better. We're in a time where it's about leveling up how we use it and what we have it build for us. And that's the seed that I want to plant with this episode. So I'm looking at the time. This episode is getting longer than I want it to be. So I'm going to cut it there. And yes, I will, of course, keep you updated on how it goes, how everything turns out. I will, you know, link what I can link and show you. I was vlogging for a bit. I got to get back to that. But I just haven't been coding as much either because I've been delivering on those messaging services. And it's been taking literally all my time. And then I was doing the rebrand, which was taking the rest of my time. But I will get back on that. So if you want to see things, the vlog is a really nice way because I do like share screens and you can see what I'm typing in the, you know, in the computer and such and what I'm building. So I will link that in the show notes as well. But for what it's worth, it's also just on the website. If you go to promptingcuriosity.com/vlog, V-L-O-G, V as in Victor, you'll see, I think I have like 7 or 8 blog posts up. And I also have it on YouTube, for what it's worth. But yeah, that is that. So last things last before I sign off, how I used AI this week. If you're new here, or you know, even if you're not, each week, or I should say, each episode, I share a quick example of how I used AI that week. This week, as you may have guessed it, I used Claude for a ton of planning regarding those two things that are on the wish list that I just shared with you. I chatted with Claude about what was possible. And worth noting, folks, I did have to prompt it to suggest, for it to have it suggest using Claude Code, right, to execute that automated workflow, which was really interesting to me. I was just like, can't Claude Code do this? And it was like, let me check. And it was like, yes, it can. In true LLM fashion, right, it often goes along with what you're saying. It doesn't necessarily have to like, fully agree. And I think Claude is actually a bit better at being less sycophantic than ChatGPT. And I'm really liking it. I am fully 100% happy with the switch. But I was chatting with Claude and I expressed familiarity with Google Apps script and it just kind of ran with that. And yes, that could be a very viable approach with some API keys. I know I'm kind of talking gibberish to some of you, but either way, there's a different way I could do it that's like more, a little bit more manual, and especially for the dashboard. And I was like, yeah, I could do that. And I was like, but I do think I'm ready to lean into Claude Code and just like have it do it. And also for the workflow automation, Claude Code is objectively a way better option. So what I'd love for you to take away from that is ask Claude how it can help you, right? Think about any repetitive tasks that you have and ask Claude how it can help you automate them. Right? This is not using AI, right? It is not at all about replacing creativity. I will stand 10 toes down on that. It's not at all about replacing creativity. Absolutely not. Using AI is about offloading the repetitive, redundant tasks that add up. And honestly, because you're offloading them, you create more space for creativity. All right, that right there, folks, that is all for today. Hopefully you found this episode helpful. If you did, I would love it, like I said earlier, if you snapped that picture and shared it on the socials. You can tag me and the pod, Me, the Movement Maestro, show, and the pod, Prompting Curiosity podcast, or honestly, just me. It's totally fine. Just check, at least tag me. It's the most important one. But I do want to show off that artwork, and I am super, super grateful for you listening. Don't forget, folks, I also have that companion newsletter, The Curious Companion. It drops every Thursday. That is basically the podcast episode in text format. It is the blog. Right? It is the podcast. This is the blog. The blog is the podcast in text format, and the companion gets sent to your inbox. So if you prefer to read or you just want a written record of all the things, join the newsletter fam. You can head to promptingcuriosity.com/newsletter, or you can check out the link in the show notes. Gonna wrap it up there. As always, my friends, endlessly, endlessly give it to me one more time. Endlessly appreciative for every single one of you. Until we chat again next Thursday, stay curious.